May we together, our Father, as one body, confessing that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, confessing that we are all simply children, listen to only you. May your Spirit prepare our hearts to be receptive, and may your Spirit restrain my tongue to be as efficient and restrained as possible, so that your word is that which is only heard. We ask this in Christ's holy name. Amen. My dad ran his own company when I was growing up, and he had a lot of powerful equipment and sort of dangerous stuff. And part of the joy of growing up with a father that owned his own little business, I was too young to know anything about something called OSHA. So I could just, it was like a kid's little experiment playground. And I remember one time as a little kid, I knew that Dad broke up dry ice and put it into a compressor to make it reduced in a liquid form to CO2 to put into a CO2 fire extinguisher. And I always thought it was cool. You know how dry ice will steam when you add a little water to it? I thought, what would happen if you would take some of those cubes of dry ice, put it in water, and put it in my little plastic thermos jug from So I put it in there, closed it up, and shook it. And I learned quickly that some things, when they're brought together, can cause a real explosion. Theologically, I've learned over the years that in Scripture, there are three things that, when they come together in Scripture, explosive, creative things happen. From the very beginning, we see that. Those three things are the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and water. And you think, okay, I understand the Word. I mean, that's eternal, that's leather-bound, came Jesus. We understand the Word of God. And we understand the Spirit of God. But couldn't God have, like, at least used gold? Or silver? I mean, something, why did something as base as water, if we're not careful, brothers and sisters, the simplicity of it will keep us from capturing the real intent. We don't want to be like Naaman, who had leprosy. And when he was asked or inquired of the man of God, Elisha, how can I be healed? Elisha said, oh, it's simple. Go jump in the lake or go dip yourself in the river. And he said, I need something more profound than that. I need something more holy than that. And there's this tendency that goes all the way back to Garden of Eden that we want something more sophisticated, more showy. And we just have water. But what we learn is that simple water, and there's nothing about the water in itself, but with the water and the Word of God and the Spirit of God, let's see some great things that happen. The prophet in Ezekiel 36 talks about this. We know Ezekiel 37, where all those dry bones come together and God shows that He can do great things with things that seem dead. But in Ezekiel 36, the chapter before that, listen to this promise looking toward Pentecost. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean or pure water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and in that act I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to honor and hold my rules. We see this in Scripture, these three things coming together. As Tom read for us at the beginning in creation, the earth was formless, void, there was nothing there, but just water. But the Spirit of God hovered over it. And the Word of God said, let there be light. And an explosion happened. Creation happened. More importantly for us, we see it in our recreation. Nicodemus came to Jesus in John 3 and said, what must I do? And Jesus brings up those same two things. Jesus said, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you have no part in it. But we know we are born. We're not only, as we hope to do, be improved, we get a new heart. I hear people talking often, and it took me a long time to realize they really weren't saying much. Have you ever heard somebody say they gave their heart to Jesus? After a while, it hit me. The prophet tells me my heart is deceitfully wicked. I know my heart, brothers and sisters, and I'm glad you don't know my heart. Do you wish anyone knew your thoughts? Do you want anybody to know what you think about? And what you have thought about all your life? No. So, why would Jesus want my heart? See, it's not so much that I give Jesus my heart. The miracle, the recreation, is that Jesus gives me a new heart. I'm not a patched over repair job. I've got a brand new heart. Just like in the original creation, those three things of Spirit, Word, and Water came together and created all things that were not. In my cold heart, that was like a stone. Word, Spirit, and Water came together, and an explosion happened. All things were new. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, if you are in Christ, you're not just a little repaired. You're not doing a whole lot better. You're not getting by on the skin of your teeth. You're not fair to middling. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are wholly new. Everything has changed. Not because of anything you did, but because that Spirit and that Word and something as simple as water came together. But then we see it again in the church at Pentecost, the fulfillment of that when the Holy Spirit came and Peter preached the Word and they were baptized. And it says that they were baptized with or into Christ Jesus. They put on Christ. I loved it when Dallas said, that water got all over my coat. And that's right. If you picture when people were anointed in the Old Testament, the oil would go down in their beards, it would go down their ears, it would go all over them. It's comprehensive. You are all covered. There's not one aspect of your life you need to keep hidden from the loving hand of God. In fact, it's those points that we keep hidden that keep us from peace. Because once we bring it to the light, we hear the Word of God say, I don't know about your parents or your grandparents or your brothers or sisters or your friends or your ex-spouses. I know I knew that about you already, and I don't hold you in condemnation. There's no reason to be ashamed because that cleansing water goes all over you. As Isaac Watts says in Joy to the World, He comes to make the cure flow as far as the stain is. It's a creative song. This wonderful melody of Word, Spirit, and water. It's our song. Do any of you couples have a song that's just yours? And when, or do any of you just have a song that when it comes on, you don't have to get but maybe one or two chords into it, and you know it. Like Sweet Home Alabama. When that starts playing, you know it, right? Or Blueberry Hill. For me, it's Zach Brown. And Whatever It Is. You know that song? When it starts playing, or maybe it's Unchained, whatever it is for you, you know how you get it, don't you? If somebody's in the car with you, they immediately have to shut up. That's my song. And you know that Zach Brown somewhere was thinking about Tom Bryant when he wrote that song. And if you don't have any more common sense than to try to talk while my song is on, I'll turn it up. I don't want to hear you. If you can, don't do this if you're driving. You want to close your eyes and you just want to drink it in. One of those songs has an interesting line. Remember the old Eagles song, Hotel California? And it says, some dance to remember, some dance to forget. I know that with drinking. Some people drink to forget. But we come to a table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies, and we don't drink to forget. We drink to remember. We drink to remember that Jesus Christ died for us and declared us forgiven. We drink to remember that this song of this melody between the Word and the Spirit and the water, it sings a melody that tells us we are redeemed. It was written just for you. It comes from the outside of you. You didn't create it. It may have been written for you, but you didn't create it. But when that song is played and you tune into it, it changes you. It comes from the outside and it changes you on the inside. And the same thing when we focus on the gift of Jesus Christ. The Word, the Spirit, and something as simple as water. It plays a tune that we focus on. We'll sing it forever. It's our song. We weren't baptized in the present. We don't say I was baptized. We will sing for the rest of our days on earth and all eternity, I am baptized, fully immersed in the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? Amen. As we prepare for worship, if you are a visitor here, you are more than glad to join with us. You're also more than glad to understand we're going to do a little bit of home business now. We'd like to renew our commitment to each other and to the Lord. For we are members, not in the sense that we joined, but members in the sense that we were birthed into this family. You don't, like one of my favorite movies, Get Low, you don't choose whom you love. The Lord gives you, He births you into this membership. We're members of a body like my arms and legs are members of a body. We're together, we're one. Those who are friends or members here receive this by email, so hopefully you've had a chance to overlook it. Or to look it over, I should say. But I give you another moment. It's on the back of the hymn, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Look at that for a moment prayerfully. And then in a moment I'll ask us to stand if we are so led and to confess this covenant of renewal together. So take a few moments and we will look this up. You will notice I'm not behind the pulpit now. I'm not addressing you as pastor. I'm addressing you as one, as a member of this congregation. And I am prepared to renew the commitment I have to this congregation. I would invite you, if you've done it before, wonderful, do it again. If you've never done it at all, do it now. But if you can and want to and feel led to sing this song together with us, I would invite you to stand with me
and we will recite our covenant together. In unison, brothers and sisters, we agree with the theology, mission, and values of the Well Church as a local expression of the historic Christian Church, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We affirm our commitment to Jesus Christ, and by the grace of God, we promise to nurture our relationship with Him through consistent worship, participating together in word and sacrament, Bible study, and prayer. With God's help, I will participate in the worship, witness, and life of the Well Church. Pray for the congregation's faithfulness to the Word, the Church, and her called leaders. Appropriately and sacrificially give to God's Church through my time, talents, and treasures. Exercise my unique gifts and callings in proclaiming the gospel in and through the Well. Gracious God, receive those things that we have committed together only in response of the gift of Jesus Christ you have given us. We love you, for you first loved us. Amen. You may be seated. As a pastor and wannabe theologian over the last 35 years, I've often been asked by people, why did Jesus get baptized? If the scripture says baptism is for the remission of sins, Jesus wasn't a sinner. Jesus wasn't sinful. And the answer is quite simple. Jesus did what we are to do when we partake of the sacrament of the table or participate in the sacrament of baptism. We look back to the cross. And Jesus, as he began his public ministry, while he was without sin, he looked forward to the cross. And he knew that on the cross, he would bear the sins of the entire world. He was that Lamb of God. And he would take away the sins of the world. So knowing, looking toward the cross, that he would have that sin, he submitted himself to baptism. We, knowing that we are sinners, we look back to the cross, knowing that we have heard, it is finished. And because of that, as we've entered the family through baptism, so we celebrate the kingdom in the participation of the Lord's Supper, looking back to that Last Supper and looking forward to that marriage feast of the Lamb, where with Him we will raise the chalice and elevate the host again. But on that night in which He was betrayed, Christ Jesus took bread, and having given thanks, He blessed it and He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you gather together." On the same way, after supper, He took a cup, and having given thanks, He blessed it and distributed it and said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for the full forgiveness and remission of your sin. Drink ye all of it. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this wine, we partake of the very body and blood of Jesus Christ." Our gracious God, for the gift of your Son incarnated in Jesus, we give you thanks. For the gift of your Spirit that moved upon the water, moved upon the womb of Mary, moved upon our cold hearts, and birthed Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. For the Father who loves us from before the foundations of the world and prepares a table before our enemies for us, we thank you. Now we ask that as we come together, we will, through the power of the Holy Spirit, discern the body of Christ, recognizing that we are not worthy of ourselves to have you enter into our house, but simply speak the word and we will be healed. Now may your Spirit enable us to receive these simple gifts of bread and wine as the body and blood of Christ, as we, the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood, sent forth into your world, lifting up the love, the forgiveness, and the grace of Jesus Christ. May we drink of it first. In your holy name, amen.